Hello, Marion Pallister at Justice and Peace Scotland here on this Feast of Michael and All Angels. As a writer of social history, I often come across documents in the archives that made huge differences in people's lives, and often those documents are dated or refer to Michaelmas, this Feast of Michael and All Angels, because this day was one of four throughout the year when servants were hired, rents were due, or leases on properties were begun. In parts of Scotland, there were fairs on these dates at which men and women turned up hopeful of a new job, which must have made Michaelmas a pretty stressful feast, I would imagine, not knowing whether by the end of the day you were going to be able to support your family with a new job. We may not have such fairs in the 21st century, but whatever the government's spin on employment statistics may be, the truth is that too many people on this Feast of Michael and All Angels are worried sick about their financial situation. The Trussell Trust, which operates the UK's food banks, say that the use of their network rose by 73% in the past 5 years, and last year 210,605 three-day emergency food parcels were given out by Trussell Trust food banks in Scotland. There are other charities in Scotland providing similar services, and as you know, every supermarket has its donations box for a food bank in the area. I know that in my own diocese of Argyll and the Isles, from Campbelltown to Stornoway, there are parishes and justice and peace groups making sure these banks are topped up. The rollout of universal credits has in part been blamed for the increases, but remember, being on universal credits doesn't mean being out of work. There are people in work who are having to access food banks, sometimes families where both mum and dad are in work, perhaps two jobs each, and still the cash they have doesn't meet their commitments. Emma Reevey, who is Trussell Trust's chief executive, says, "It's unacceptable that anyone should have to use a food bank in the first place. No charity can replace the dignity of having financial security. That's why in the long term, we, that's the Trussell Trust, are urging the government to ensure benefit payments reflect the true cost of living and that work is secure, paying the real living wage to help ensure we're all anchored from poverty." And I find it absolutely shocking that 40 years after Justice and Peace Scotland was launched as a commission advising the Scottish Bishops Conference, this is a problem we're all having to tackle, despite those Westminster government figures that make it appear employment in the UK is healthy. I've just been writing a booklet that reflects on our four decades working on justice and peace issues. The archive material is salutary in reminding us of the reasons that the Catholic bishops in Scotland considered a Justice and Peace Commission was necessary at that particular moment. Vatican II deliberations in the 1960s had concluded that there must be a preferential option for the poor, a phrase we're very familiar with now. And Father Willie Slaven, Justice and Peace Commission's first national secretary, noted that Catholic social teaching now spoke of justice and peace rather than charity and mercy, which was something of a change in emphasis. 1979 was not a good year for many reasons. Unemployment figures in the second half of the 70s doubled. So by 1979, when Justice and Peace became an official part of the Scottish Bishops' Armoury, Scotland, the whole of the UK, was in the midst of an economic crisis and civil unrest. There were strikes that left rubbish piled high on the streets and the dead went unburied. The winter months of 1978-79 were dubbed the Winter of Discontent, a barbed use of the quote from Shakespeare's play Richard III. And then Margaret Thatcher was elected on a manifesto that promised a clampdown on trades unions and a return to employment. And of course, with the hindsight that is such a wonderful gift, we know that that clampdown on unions led to a harvest of poor wages and conditions that we still reap today. And also, of course, the unemployment figures continued to rise, doubling again in the first half of the 1980s. Father Willie Slaven had to prioritise justice for the unemployed on the new Justice and Peace Commission's agenda. By November 1981, 325,600 people were registered as unemployed in Scotland. And for the young folk in their 20s, the percentage of unemployed was devastatingly crippling, with 110,453 in that age group out of work. Father Slaven and colleagues worked long and hard to produce a statement for the Scottish bishops on this destructive issue of unemployment. By 1983, with the contribution of priests involved in industry, he was able to tell the bishops that despite the complexities of the situation, there was now, after three painstaking drafts, a potential statement on work and unemployment that could be issued by the Scottish Bishops' Conference. And that was a 2,000-word document called The World of Work and Workless, and it was distributed to Scotland's 840,000 Catholics on May the 29th, 1983. In it, the bishops stressed that people come before capital, that commercial interests must be balanced by the human implications of investment decisions, that unemployment and other benefits should be provided in a generous generosity of spirit, and that the cry of the young employed could not be ignored. Is there a word in that which doesn't apply to our society in 2019? Because our society has seen people become human resources. The film I, Daniel Blake showed only too painfully and accurately that benefits are provided in a spirit that is far from generous, and so-called sanctions leave people penniless and knocking on the door of food banks. That 1983 statement from the Scottish bishops said, "We can shape our future together. We are not a poor nation. We must choose whether we'll become a more just one." It concluded by paraphrasing Matthew 25, saying, "It may be that at the end of the day, the question asked of us will be, when I was unemployed, did you give me work?" In that booklet reflecting on this 40th anniversary of Justice and Peace Scotland, I've suggested that today employers face the questions, did you put me on 0 hours contract? Did you pay me below the minimum wage? And governments may reach the pearly gates and be quizzed on those benefits that can be sanctioned and leave folk penniless. Our Lord might ask, did you steal my dignity and make me seek help from a food bank? The Trades Union Council met earlier this month and reported that there were 3.7 million people in the UK in what they call insecure work and 1.85 million self-employed people earning less than the minimum wage. Despite the recent pickup in earnings, it said that workers were still facing the longest pay squeeze for 200 years. 200 years! Those anti-trade union laws that Margaret Thatcher promised in 1979, when Justice and Peace Scotland was just finding its feet, and industrial changes that she began during the 1980s, have resulted in union membership and collective bargaining coverage falling dramatically. Frances O'Grady, the TUC's General Secretary, has said, "We're at risk of going back to 19th century working conditions. Millions of workers have no control and no voice at work, with increasing numbers stuck on low pay, 0 hours contracts and in sham self-employment." Catholic social teaching demands dignity in work. And on the Catholic social teaching website, an easy one. It's www.catholicsocialteaching.org.uk. We read that work must be undertaken responsibly and labour treated well. This includes how we approach the work we do, what it is we do with our work, and how employers treat their employees. A strong theme in Catholic social thought is support for trade unions and state measures to ensure concrete safeguards in place, such as living wages and holiday leave. Well, nothing could be clearer, and it's nothing new, of course. In 1891, Pope Leo XIII's encyclical Rerum Novarum on capital and labour sought the Christianising of the conditions of the working classes. And in 1961, in his document on Christianity and Social Progress, Mater et Magistra, Pope John XXIII stressed, "The state has also the duty to protect the rights of all its people, and particularly of its weaker members, the workers, women and children. It can never be right for the state to shirk its obligation of working actively for the betterment of the condition of the working man." For some time now, as the statistics show and the feeling in our bones confirms, we have seen a worsening of the condition of the working man and woman. And while we're inclined to think of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, its so-called 17 Steps to a Better World, as something that should be applied in the developing world, the first of the SDGs is end poverty in all its forms, everywhere. And I'm seeing poverty in Scotland. I'm on the committee of an organisation that provides emergency packs of toiletries and household cleaners to people in crisis moving into a new home. And it's had to add food packs in the past couple of years. Our Justice and Peace group at St Margaret's in Lough Gilphead took several carloads of winter clothes and sleeping bags to the Simon community in Glasgow last winter. And goodness, they were swallowed up in the horrifically large need that there is. Food banks don't exist in wealthy societies. They exist in ours, however, whether we are the world's fifth richest nation or not. So something must be done to achieve Sustainable Development Goal number one. And there are a number of other SDGs that make me think we're failing people in Scotland. But number eight is an interesting one. Promote sustained, inclusive and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment and decent work for all. Surely that echoes Pope Leo, Pope John XXIII and the Scottish bishops in 1983 in words crafted by Justice and Peace Scotland's National Secretary. And I'm following in all their footsteps and being a bit political, but as I keep reminding myself, our Justice and Peace Bishop President and Pope Francis have urged us to make our views known on issues that affect society. Those people who queued up on Michaelmas a couple of centuries ago in the hope of getting work, the officially unemployed of the 1970s and 80s, and the less well-defined folk whose work hangs on a sugary 0 hours self-employed peg in 2019 and who perhaps face another winter of discontent, they all prompt those very tricky questions in Matthew. Did you feed me when I was hungry? Give me a drink when I was thirsty? Clothe me when I was naked? It's perhaps time for the Scottish bishops to make another plea on their behalf as Justice and Peace Scotland heads towards the end of its 40th anniversary. Meanwhile, let's pray together in Pope Francis's words. God of justice, open our eyes to see you in the face of the poor. Open our ears to hear you in the cries of the exploited. Open our mouths to defend you in the public squares as well as in private deeds. Remind us that what we do to the least ones, we do to you. Amen. And thank you so much for listening.